Now this is Red Nichols and his five pennies. And poor Butterfly. Thank you, Frank.
Boy, do you see that poor Butterfly there in the gutter?
Man, he sure looks beat.
Poor baby, Butterfly, butter in the gutter. Poor baby, Butterfly, I want the gutter by way.
Get up! Don't stay! Come on! Fly away!
Five pennies and poor Butterfly. Inspired, I understand, by Madam Butterfly. Well, it's time for a Glenn Miller track. And tonight it's the classic American Patrol. This version is from the actual soundtrack of the movie Orchestra Wives from the early 1940s. And the sound quality is exceptional. It should be. It's been reprocessed with genuine care and affection by that wizard of the wax, Robert Parker.
Oh,
number really has the flavor of the era in every note. Glenn Miller had many big hits, but few greater than American Patrol. Well, we certainly seem to be playing a really old bunch of songs tonight. I didn't mean to have so many. It just worked out that way. But I do hope that you're enjoying them nonetheless. The reason I say this is that we next have an Irving Berlin song that Eddie Cantor popularized in the very early 1920s. You'd be surprised. This song seems to have been revived several times over its long life. I even remember Marilyn Monroe featuring it in one of her films. Back in the 40s, though, the song had a really big boost when Orrin Tucker recorded it, and a lady named Bonnie Baker supplied the vocal. If you were around in those days, there's just no way that you could forget this one.
He's not so good in a crowd, but when you get him alone, you'll be surprised. He is much of a dance, but then when he takes you home, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look like much of a lover, but don't judge a book by its cover. He's got the face of an angel, but there's a devil in his eye. He's a delicate thing, but when he starts in discreet, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look very strong, but when you sit on his knee, you'd be surprised. At a party or at a ball, got to admit he's nothing at all, but in a Morris chair, you'd be
next break, we'll be back with a touch of the classics.
At Melbourne's own 3DB, it's now 11 to 8.
Hi, Philomena here from Philomena's Travel Service. How would you like to join Andrew Bensley at the Grand National at Aintree? Well, now's your chance, so get in early. Tour departs March 29 to London. You'll stay at top hotels, get specially reserved seats at the races, and have a whale of a time, and all for under $3,000. Naturally, you'll see all the sights, as well as visit some of the top stables in Britain. For full details, call Philomena's Travel now on 602-3866. 602-3866.
Arthur Higgins drives you home with news, views, and interviews every afternoon at 5 on Melbourne's own 3DB. Arthur blends the newsmakers with the newsbreakers. Drive with Arthur Higgins every day at 5 on Melbourne's own 3DB.
And this is Thanks for the Memory. And here's your host, Bob Matchless.
And the time is 11 minutes to 8 o'clock. And thank you, Frank. Just before our next track, we have an obituary that's come in from the newsroom on Cary Grant, and I thought you'd like to hear it. It may take a couple of minutes, so please bear with me, but it is very interesting. Cary Grant, the screen idol who epitomised style, elegance and wit, was one of Britain's most successful exports to the Hollywood dream-making factory. The Bristol-born boy who ran away at 14 to join a troupe of travelling acrobats charmed and wisecracked his way through a cinema career spanning four decades and more than 70 films. On the way, he married five times, was hailed as film's genius of light comedy, earned a reputation for painstaking professionalism, and amassed one of Hollywood's largest personal fortunes. Repeatedly voted cinema's top box office draw, Grant's mastery of the smart one-liner peaked in his comedy partnership with Katharine Hepburn in comedies such as Holiday and The Philadelphia Story, and in the Howard Hawks films His Girl Friday and I Was a Male War Bride, and in Hitchcock's thrillers Suspicion, To Catch a Thief, and North by Northwest. He carved a niche as the hapless innocent, caught up in a web of intrigue and suspense. But in 1966, he made his last film, Walk, Don't Run, and despite repeated offers from producers, he never wavered from his decision to quit the cinema. Grant was born in 1904, the son of a tailor in the Monelia district of Bristol. An earlier fascination with a theatre lured him from home at the tender age of 14 to sign up as a tumbler with a troupe of travelling acrobats. Touring America with a troupe in 1920, he landed a part in a Broadway stage musical. During lean years before breaking into the Hollywood big time, Grant was reduced to working as a stagehand, and at one time earned a crust as a stilt-walking sandwich board man on Coney Island. He was eventually signed up by Paramount Studios in 1932 and made his screen debut as a javelin thrower. But it was Hollywood's sex goddess, Mae West, who later claimed credit for spotting his star quality, insisting that Grant should be cast as a humorous foil in the hugely successful 1933 comedy, She Done Him Wrong. And it was Grant who was on the receiving end of one of her classic one-liners, "Come up and see me sometime," or, more correctly, "Come up sometime to see me." But Grant said in later life, he never cared much for Mae West, a degree of indifference not shown to all his leading ladies. Grant married for the first time in 1934. His bride was actress Virginia Cheryl, a former Chaplin leading lady. The partnership lasted a little more than a year. His next three marriages, to Woolworth heiress Barbara Hutton, Hollywood actress Betsy Drake, and another screen star, Diane Cannon, all ended in divorce. But his story relationship with Diane Cannon produced his only child, a daughter, Jennifer, in 1966. The idol of millions of adoring female fans, Grant was given to observing perplexedly that he never understood women, and in a rare moment of candor, explaining his marital record, he remarked, "When I'm married, I want to be single, and when I'm single, I want to be married." At the age of 77, he finally seemed to resolve this dilemma, marrying English-born Barbara Harris, a former public relations officer, 47 years his junior. Grant constantly complained about the Peter Pan label attached to his seemingly indestructible health and usefulness. In a celebrated display of the Grant wit, he once replied to a telegram from a movie magazine which demanded, "How old Cary Grant?" with a rejoinder, "Old Cary Grant, fine. How are you?" If he ever conceded to a recipe for his youthful appearance, It was relaxation, non-smoking, and breathing exercises. More controversially, he admitted to having used the hallucinatory drug LSD as part of a course of psychoanalysis. After retirement from the screen, Grant devoted his formidable energies to business, acting as a roving ambassador for the perfume company Fabergé. He was also a director of the MGM Film Corporation. Looking back on his cinema career, critics have lauded Grant for his impeccable comedy timing and amiable on-screen assurance, but many voiced the view that his full potential as a dramatic actor had never been realised. The film industry, like the cinema-going public, had no such reservations. In 1970, Grant received a special Oscar in recognition for his contribution to American cinema. And that was an obituary for Cary Grant, the actor who died today at age 82. Well, this track was inspired by Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, and it's called Moon Love. This version is from Sammy Kaye and his orchestra.
Will this be moon love? Thank you.
Midnight Fantasy with Clyde Burke.
Will this be moonlight? Nothing but moonlight. Will you be gone when the dawn comes stealing through? Are these just moon dreams? Grandfather moonbeams. But when the moon fades away, will my dreams come true? Much as I love you, don't let me love you. If I must pay for your kiss with lonely tears, say it's not moon love, tell me it's true love. Say you'll be mine when the moon disappears. Was
Clyde Burke on the vocal of Moon Love with old Swing and Sway himself, Sammy Kay. After 8 o'clock news, we'll be back with more nostalgia from the 1930s to the 1950s.
I'm Charles Collins. A spokesman for Treasurer Paul Keating has denied rumours of a rift between the Treasurer and Foreign Minister Bill Hayden over the decision to vote for loan funds to go to Chile. Chile's military dictatorship, headed by General Augusto Pinochet, is regarded by most as the most violent and repressive regime in South America. News that Australia voted for the supply of loans when many Western countries either voted against the loans or abstained from voting has caused a storm of protest and placed Mr. Keating in a controversial limelight yet again. Some newspapers say that Mr. Keating acted against Mr. Hayden's advice. However, the spokesman says the two ministers discussed the matter and decided between them to support the Chilean request to the International Monetary Fund. Victoria's weekend road toll has risen to 7 with the death of a 13-year-old boy in Flowerdale in the northeast of the state. Craig Robert Norton, 13, of Kilsyth, was incinerated when the unregistered motorbike he was riding up Firewood No. 3 Road became stuck in a rut, left the road and landed in a forked tree where it exploded. State opposition spokesman on employment and industrial relations, Phil Goode, says there's a private deal between the Kane government and the shop, distributive and allied employees union and major traders, which may be breaking the law. Mr. Goode says the deal will close major stores on Saturday, December the 27th. He says the deal may be in breach of lease agreements and could represent a restraint of trade. Mr. Goode says that small traders have been told that some shopping centres' premises will be closed on December 27. He's calling on the State Attorney General to investigate the position of small traders as a matter of urgency. One of the greats of the silver screen, Cary Grant, has died. Grant, who made what many considered a premature retirement from the screen in the mid-1960s, was at his prime the highest-paid star in Hollywood and won notoriety for his refusal to do television work of any kind and his stance for the legalisation of LSD. Martin Jackson reports.
The veteran actor was transferred to intensive care shortly after being admitted to hospital for tests. His fifth wife, Barbara, was at his bedside. Cary Grant was born Archibald Leach in Bristol and first went to America with a troupe of acrobats. He made his first film in 1932, and by the end of the decade, he was a star, the elegant matinee idol of light comedy. He made more than 70 films during his 30-year career, among them North by Northwest and The Philadelphia Story, and starred opposite a host of leading ladies, including Marlena Dietrich, Marilyn Monroe, Katharine Hepburn, and Sophia Loren.
The executive director of the Victorian Employers Federation, Ian Spicer, says the federal government should defer the second fringe benefits tax payment due at the end of January. Mr. Spicer says businesses already have to remit group and prescribed payments tax during January and pay sales and payroll tax. He says most businesses have a slow or negative cash flow in January, and the second fringe benefits tax payment will stretch many of them to the limit. Cricket and Australian skipper Alan Border seems to at last have hit form with the bat, and it couldn't have come at a more important time for the Aussies. Chasing England's imposing first inning score of 8 for 592 declared, Australia soon found themselves struggling to avoid the follow-on in the third day of the second test at the Wacker today. After losing David Boone for 2 last night, Jeff Marsh went for 15 early today, and then Steve Waugh went for a hard-hitting 71. Dean Jones was the next to fall. He made 27, and then Greg Ritchie was dismissed for a quick-fire 33. However, Border has not lost his cool in what are trying circumstances, and with the help of Greg Matthews, he's moved Australia's score onto 5 for 259. Border is not out on 74. Matthews has hit 27. Australia need another 134 runs to avoid the follow-on. Meanwhile, Victoria is in a strong position in their Sheffield Shield match in Adelaide. Captain Ray Bright declared the Vic's second innings closed at 5 for 223 to add to the first innings lead of 133. That gave South Australia a target of 357 for an outright victory, but already they're struggling at 1 for 12. Victoria's third-day hero was Paul Hibbert, who scored 101, while Andrew Zizes took 3 wickets for the Crow Eaters. And it continues to be a great year for Roger Davis on the golf circuit. Davis, twice previously runner-up in the New Zealand Open, has finally won the event. Davis' 72-hole tally was 13 under the card, 3 better than Bob Shearer and American Curtis Strange. Davis shot a superb 63 on the first day at Titirangi and led all the way. News time, 8:04.
Life is always fun with Jeff Cox. And Coxie fills in for Bert Newton every morning this week from 6 on Melbourne's own 3DV.
Melbourne's weather. Fine, although cloud increasing tomorrow. A very warm day with a nor'east wind freshening and tending northerly. A top tomorrow of 30 degrees after an overnight low of 13. On the bays, east to nor'east winds tonight, grading from 10 to 15 knots with a slight to choppy sea in the north to 20 knots southward with a rather rough sea. Winds tending north to nor'easterly at 10 to 15 knots tomorrow with rather rough seas. There should be showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday with a maximum of about 30. Wednesday will be clearing and cooler with a top in the low 20s, and Thursday will be fine with a top in the low 20s. The temperature in Melbourne currently is 20 degrees. I'm Charles Collins.
This has been 3DB Newsfront. Thanks for the memory. And your host, Bob Matchless.
Thank you, Frank Mackay, and the time is 6 minutes past eight. And here we go with hour three of Thanks for the Memory. You know, one singer I have a real soft spot for is Peter Dawson. Now, I know he sounds really old-fashioned today, but Dawson sounded old-fashioned even in the 1930s. He really had something then, and to me, he still has it now. And although I have to say that I find some of his records pretty hard to listen to, there are many that I still enjoy over and over again. Songs like Old Father Thames, The Floral Dance, and Boots. Well, we have some Peter Dawson tonight. In fact, we have three examples, none of which is the expected. About 5 years ago, EMI Records, with the help of the National Library in Canberra, issued an amazing 10-volume set of Dawson, and they covered it all, from his first cylinder recording in 1904 to one of his last recordings, taken from a radio broadcast in 1958. In between, there's every kind of Dawson recording you could imagine. Dramatic sketches from the early years of the century, a sample from a set of what were called physical culture exercises in 1922, long before Jane Fonda. All sorts of vocals, and even records issued by Dawson under other names from the early days of his career, when he happily impersonated such famous entertainers as Harry Lauder. If you're interested in Peter Dawson in any way, I do suggest that you get hold of this set. Its title is Ambassador of Song, and I'm pretty sure that it's still available. That's enough talking. Let's hear something from the man himself. This first track I've chosen because it's Dawson singing a song that Bing Crosby made famous, and is from Bing's 1937 movie, Rhythm on the Range. The title, Empty Saddles. Ah, yes, they don't sing like that anymore. I honestly think I prefer Bing's record of Empty Saddles, but it is interesting to see how Peter Dawson handles it. Our second track tonight from this 10LP set comes from a live outside radio broadcast in 1942, recorded in, of all places, New Zealand. The whole track runs more than 6 minutes and features quite a bit of commentary from a very excited announcer. But I thought I'd play it all because it is very interesting to hear. In the middle of it, Dawson manages to sing that great old song, The Changing of the Guard.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my privilege and pleasure to perform a task which is almost unnecessary, and that is to introduce Mr. Peter Dawson, the world-renowned bass baritone. Now, Mr. Dawson has come from Australia to help us with this Liberty War loan. And the best introduction, the best welcome you can give him is three good cheers. Now then, hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Do it again. Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! That's for the loan.
The one did be open on relay just outside the General Post Office. Mr. Peter Dawson.
Ladies and gentlemen.
About.
I don't know what to say to you for this magnificent roller and for the great reception that's been accorded me here today. I feel like a prize buck. Been wheeled through the town in a motor car like a tiger in a cage. And here we are, and if you stick around a little bit longer, I'm going to sing you a song. But before doing so, it's quite a treat to see such a vast number of people here, and I hope that this new war loan will be received with every success. And I hope that the next one that's coming along for 200 million, that you will meet as joyfully as this one. Thank you very much.
You are listening then to Mr. Peter Dawson, the eminent... The eminent Australian bass baritone. There's an enormous crowd here today. The people are hanging out from windows everywhere. Just dying to get a peep at Mr. Dawson.
Are you coming to London? When you come to London, I'll tell you what you must do. Go down the street, take in the drinks, do all the usual things. And if your spouse is fond of houses, why not show her the king? Go down the Grand to Buckingham Palace, and there you'll see the changing of the guard. Stand, baby, within the palace yard. And if you're free to enter, bend your pressure noses to the rest. And there you'll see the changing of the guard. See how they fall. To be the gun, the front, the front, but right on every hand. A shot, the card, the word, the man. Behold, behold, the changing of the guard. Asking if the king's home, oh, ask the belly of sin. The king's away at Windsor, sir, or centering my fear. But where he is the changing guard, the very same as here. Why, which I mean, at Buckingham Palace, well, there you'll see the changing of the guard. are changing on the go. And filing away the band of violin. Don't forget to tell your friends. You'll see the changing of the guard. Company, run! It is found! There you'll see the changing of the guard. Stand by me within the palace guard. The royal candidate in the field will tell you when the man.
Mr. Peter Dawson singing The Changing of the Guard. Just as he finished, a formation of planes flew overhead, and he's standing up again and taking a bow. And as the planes flew overhead, Mr. Peter Dawson paused and pointed upwards. The crowd went wild over that song. You could hear his voice echoing right across Queen Street from one building to the other. Actually, the street's absolutely blocked.
And that's where the record fades out. Doesn't that track have a wonderful atmosphere? You really feel like you're there, and Dawson is in sensational voice. Of course, he's projecting for an outdoor setting, but, gee, sounds great to me. Well, Peter Dawson's last commercial recording session was in 1955, when he was around 70 years of age. And it's a great number. It's a vocal version of one of the most famous Banjo Paterson poems, Clancy of the Overflow. The orchestration is first-rate, too. But what makes this particular record especially fascinating is that it was recorded originally in stereo, although not issued in that medium until the release of this set. At 19 minutes past 8, let's hear Peter Dawson and a song I really enjoy, Clancy of the Overflow.
Written him a letter, which I had, for want of better knowledge, sent to where I met him down the loft of years ago. He was cheering when I knew him, so I sent the letter to him, just on spec addressed as follows, Clancy of the Overflow. And an answer came directed in a writing unexpected, and I think the same was written with a thumbnail lifting star. While the cheering maker wrote it, and verbatim I will quote it, Clancy's gone to Queens and calling, and we don't know when he comes. In my wild imagination, Clancy visions come to me of Clancy, gone a-droving down the Cooper, where the western drovers walk. As the stock are slowly streaking, Clancy right behind them singing. For the drover's life has pleasures that the townsfolk never know, and the bush has friends to meet him, and their kindly voices greet him. In the murmur of the breezes and the river on its bars, and he sees a vision splendid of the sunlit plains extended, and at night with all its wonder and the glory of the fall. dainty ray of sunlight struggles feebly down between the houses tall. And the fetid air and gritty of the dirty, dusty city, through the open window floating, when it's found a and in place of lowing cattle, I can hear the fiendish rattle of the tramways and the buses making hurry down the street, and the language gun is fighting, for the gun that killed is fighting, capitulating and fighting. And the hurrying people daunt me, and their pallid faces haunt me, as they shoulder one another in their rush and nervous haste, with their eager eyes and greedy, and their stunted forms and weedy. For town folk have no time to grow, they have no time to waste. And somehow rather fancy that I'd like to change with Betsy, like to take a turn and go to the while he faced the round eternal of the cash book and the gold. But I doubt he took the office, Betsy.
Isn't that a stirring recording? You know, I wonder how many artists can claim they started on cylinder recordings and ended in stereo. Peter Dawson, Clancy of the Overflow. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with Fred Allen and Jack Benny.
It's 23 past 8 at Melbourne's own 3DB.
The wisest words Charlie Brown ever said were, "I love humanity. It's people I can't stand." It's easy to have fine feelings towards folk we never meet and to be unbearable to those we live with. As the Chinese proverb says, better do a kindness near home than go far away to burn incense. I'm Father Humphrey O'Leary. Have a good day.
Mickey the Stoop makes your morning every day at 9. Mickey talks to the right people and brings a breath of fresh air to morning radio. Mickey the Stoop, every morning at 9 on Melbourne's own 3DB. This is Thanks for the Memory and your host, Bob Matchless.
And the time is coming up to 25 minutes past 8. And now for something completely different. And it's a fine example of that famous radio feud between Jack Benny and Fred Allen. In this sketch, they swap some wonderful insults, and it comes from an early 40s radio broadcast. Just to set the picture, it's Christmas, and Jack is visiting a department store to buy a present for Fred, a present in keeping with his radio character, as cheaply as possible. We pick him up in the necktie counter.
See, I'm buying this tie for a friend of mine, Fred Allen.
Fred Allen? Oh, I heard him on the radio. Why didn't you just buy him a piece of rope and let him hang himself?
Now, you mustn't talk that way. Even I wouldn't say that about Fred at Christmas time. You see, I'm Jack Benny.
You are?
Yep.
Why don't you buy
a piece of rope, too? Never mind the wisecracks, please. I'd like to get a tie for Alan for, well, say, in the neighborhood of 75 cents.
Well, here's one for 59 cents. The new nifty hand-painted model is advertised in the Hobo News.
Say, that's a beaut. I'll take it.
Okay, but the material is awful. It causes a rash on the chest.
Good. If Alan gets a rash on that hollow chest of his, it'll look like a fire in Laurel Canyon. No kidding. His chest is so hollow, when he breathes, there's an echo. I'll take that tie and put it in a real expensive box.
How much do you want to pay for the box?
Just put it in a bag.
I resent that.
Not you. I meant a paper bag.
I see. Say, isn't that Fred Allen over there?
Where? Yes, it is. He's heading this way. I'll bet that louse is going to buy me one of these cheap neckties. I'll tell you what, miss. Let me duck down behind the counter. counter with you.
Okay, but no tricks.
At your age, are you silly? I just want to do a little spying.
Well, get your head down off the counter. People will buy anything these days.
All right, all right.
Yes, sir? What can I do for you?
I'd like to buy a tie for an old friend.
Well, here's a nice one for $3.
No, you see, this fella is more old than friend. Wait a minute, I got him. Say, that's just the tie I want. Your author was drafted. Say, that's just the tie I want. That 59-center, the polka dot cheesecloth there.
Okay, but I must tell you, this material causes a rash on the chest.
Well, don't worry about it. The guy I'm giving this to hasn't got enough blood to break out in a rash. Wrap it up.
That's so.
Gee, this is a hot one, Mr. Allen. Not 2 minutes ago, I sold the same identical tie to... Oh, ouch!
What's, What is the matter? That's the point that wasn't in the script here. What's the matter, miss? You jumped.
Well, you'd jump, too, if someone just bit your ankle. Oh. Listen, Blue Eyes, that hurt.
Quiet. Hey, what's going on behind there? Oh, ho! So it's you, Benny. Hello, Freddy. What are you doing down there on the floor, Benny? Teaching the mice how to be rats? No, Freddy. I was tired from shopping, so I thought I'd lie down for a while. Shopping, eh?
That's right.
Brother, you could shop from now until 1980 and still not demobilize your wallet. You should talk. You're tighter than the hinges on the door of Inner Sanctum. Now, don't cloud the issue. What are you doing looking at neckties? Don't you crochet your own anymore? Well, to tell the truth, Freddy, between radio and pictures and managing the Jack Benny all-girl football team, I have a little time left for crocheting.
That softball team, isn't it, you chasing?
Softball, I'm sorry. Stay now. The Jack Benny all-girl soft football team. I'll get them both in. That's what you get for having your bifocals on top, you see. You put them on top so you can read all the comedy lines. I know that. Say, I saw your team...
I got the bottom one so I can see what I'm whistling at.
Go out with little women, though. Say, I saw your...
We'll be here all night, you know.
No, that was Hope and Durandy, not us. I saw your team play the other night, Jackie. Who is that shortstop? Her arms look like buggy whips, and she had no calves in her legs.
That was me. My regular shortstop was home having a baby.
By the way, Freddy, what are you doing at the necktie counter? Well, I know several people with necks, so I thought I'd get them... something to rest their Adam's apples on.
Oh, well, personally, I don't see anything here that appeals to my good taste.
Oh, you don't, huh? Listen, Jackson, you took up my time, picked out a tie, so hand over the 59 cents.
Never mind.
And you bit my ankle.
Well, you can't charge me for that. I didn't like it.
Listen, Jack, did you buy one of those 59-cent dish rag foulards as a gift?
Oh, it's for a friend of mine who writes a lot. I thought he might like it for a pen wiper.
I wouldn't wipe my razor on one of those. Just... Just wrap up one for me, too, miss, just in case.
You know, Freddie, I've been wondering what to get you for Christmas. Believe me, I've combed every basement.
Oh, any little thing will do, Jackie. It's not the gift, after all. It's the spirit in which it's given.
That's right. You know, I like you, Fred.
Well, I like you, too, Jackie Wacky. And I enjoy your radio programs.
You do?
Uh-huh. You know, most people fall asleep when you're broadcasting. But me, I stay awake. I don't care what people say, you're great.
Well, thanks, Fred. You know another thing, Freddie? I think you're wonderful in pictures.
Really?
Gee, with that face of yours and those bags under your eyes, what character parts you can play. Really? Certainly. But me, all I can be is a good-looking juvenile.
Oh, great.
20 or 30 years, I'll be washed up. But you, with those bags and wrinkles, you can go on forever.
Oh,
you know, with those wrinkles, you look like a convertible with the top halfway down.
Oh, you're just saying that, Chappie.
No, I'm not. Why, you can play anything from the Hunchback of Notre Dame to Dracula's other wife. But I'm typed. All I can be is a perpetual pretty boy.
Now, Jackie, don't let your beauty depress you as it does everyone else. You are destined to be a great lover, and there's nothing you can do about it.
But I'd rather be like you, Fred, a character and a great wit. Gosh, what a kick I get out of those jokes you think of. You know, those ad-libs you pull.
Oh, they're really nothing.
I know, but does the public realize that? They think you're the top.
Well, what the public doesn't know won't hurt us, eh, Jackie? Why, if your fans could see you in the morning before Rochester assembled you, they'd run a mile.
2 miles. Say, Freddie, look, here's the music counter. I think I'll try this violin.
Gosh, that's,
Just 1 second. Wait till I play a little exercise.
Are you playing a tuning?
Yes, I will.
In just a second.
Ma, what time is it?
Gosh, that's beautiful, Jackie, it says here.
Here, you, put that violin down. Who do you think you are, Yosha Heifetz?
Wait a minute. Why, well, listen, Heifetz. Wait a
minute. You got Durante's glasses on, you kid.
Heifetz is plenty worried about me, brother.
Heifetz wouldn't spit on you.
Oh, he wouldn't, eh? Well, he did, Smarty.
Fred Allen and Jack Benny in some great writing in their famous radio feud. Tomorrow week, that is, Monday, December 8th, the Victorian Bing Crosby Society has its final film night for the year, and the film we're screening is Bing's famous 1942 feature, Holiday Inn. You don't have to be a member of the Victorian Bing Crosby Society to attend the screening, although it does help. But if I can tell you more, why don't you drop me a line as soon as possible? Preferably, get your letter off tomorrow morning. After our next item, I'll be back with the address from where to write for details. So if you want to grab a pencil and paper, this is the time to do so. This track comes from the actual soundtrack of Holiday Inn, and it features Bing and actress Marjorie Reynolds. The scene is outside the inn, when Marjorie first comes looking for a job, and this leads Bing into singing, for the very first time ever, White Christmas. Thanks, Frank.
So this is Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Will be if it ever opens up.
Well, why shouldn't it open?
Well, I ain't one to talk, but you could probably buy a half interest in this place for a barrel of apples. Next plane for New York's at 7:43 if we can flag her down.
Yes. Say, I'm looking for a job. Where's the boss?
Right here. I'll be down in a second.
Well, here's what cooks.
Oh! Well, this is darling. Was it as large as this when it was a farmhouse?
Yeah, it was built by a fellow who felt cramped in New York. He finally run out of lumber, though.
I don't know. It sounds like something you dream about at night. And it would be wonderful. And you'd wake up in the morning and realize it couldn't work.
Oh, it'll work. If I can sell the idea to some performers. They seem to think that profit sharing means taking vows on an empty stomach.
So that's why you're not open tonight.
Well, I'm also sort of particular about the kind of talent I'm going to use.
15 holidays a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're a lazy fellow.
No, not especially. Just have my own ideas about living.
Say, I came out here for a job. Could you use me?
Well, I might find a spot for you on my first show. What can you do?
I sing a little and dance.
Couldn't guarantee any salary at first. Right now, I've got the ledger in an iron lung.
I don't care if you pay off an egg. Just give me a chance.
Well, let's see what you can do.
Thanks a lot.
You know, I've written special music for each holiday. This sort of gives me a chance to keep a little promise I made to myself. I said I was going to sing this song at the end tonight.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your day be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know,
where the treetops glisten,
where the treetops glisten,
and children listen,
and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Address to write for details of our screening of Holiday Inn tomorrow week. It's the Victorian Bing Crosby Society, Post Office Box 422, South Melbourne. That's the Victorian Bing Crosby Society, Post Office Box 422, South Melbourne. Right, please write, because I'll get back to you just as quick as I can. And now, it's time for part three of Showbiz, that amazing cavalcade of entertainment recorded by RCA Victor in the early 1950s. Tonight, we cover the Great Depression of the early 1930s, or as the record puts it, when Wall Street laid an egg. Here's the narrator, George Jessel.
The big boom became the big bust. The unemployed sold apples, two for a nickel, on street corners. Bonus marches went to Washington, and the party was definitely over, for a time anyway. One facet of showbiz, however, as if tailor-made for the Depression, grew up and prospered. It was free and came right into your living room. Radio. In towns and cities, the nation paused each night at 7 to share the adventures of the Fresh Air Taxi Company, Amos and Andy.
I was regusted.
Owa! Owa! Owa!
There was Ed Wynn, Fred Allen, the Goldbergs, George Burns and Gracie Allen, Joe Penner.
You nasty man!
Fibber McGee and Molly, Jack Pearl.
Was you there, Charlie?
There was a new star named Bob Hope. And one night, a fellow who claimed he was looking forward to his 39th birthday stepped up to the mic to play his fiddle. Jack Benny. And one comedian had the largest radio audience of all. Only the King of England abdicating his throne to become the Duke of Windsor, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt's declaration of war drew more people to their radio sets. His name, Eddie Cantor.
We want Cantor, we want Cantor.
There was Morton Downey.
Wabash moon, keep shining on the one who waits for me.
And will you ever forget
Delta? And now the time has come to lend thine ears to Au Revoir, Pleasant Dreams. Au Revoir, Pleasant Dreams. Think of us when requesting your theme. Until next Tuesday, when possibly you all may tune in again. Keep the old maestro always in use. Yelda. Au revoir. This is Ben Burney, ladies and gentlemen, and all the lads. Wishing you a bit of pleasant dream.
There was Rudy Valley, the vagabond lover.
For I'm just a vagabond lover, in search of a sweetheart, it seems. And I know that someday I'll discover her, the girl of my vagabond dream.
Arthur Tracy, the street singer.
Not a rambling rose of the wildwood, not with your fragrance divine.
And one young fellow who introduced a new boo-boo-boo-boo singing style that topped them all, Bing Crosby.
Just a gigolo everywhere I go. People know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Every night some heart betrays. There will come a day, youth will pass away. Then what will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just the gigolo as life goes on without me.
During this era, Helen Morgan brought tears on Broadway. While B. Lily brought laughs.
When the moon is beaming up behind the hill, I get such a funny feeling. I can't keep still. I get a yen for pension, so I'll very soon be getting over to the old old tree where I love my lovely lover like he likes me.
And Jimmy Durante, taking the advice of Sime Silverman, founder of Variety, broke up with his two partners, Clayton and Jackson, to go west and do a single in Hollywood movies. No wonder the great Schnozzola sang,
I know darn well I can do without Broadway, but can Broadway do without me? Herald Square, Times Square, Columbus Circle, 96th. Say, where am I? I must have passed my station. When they found out that I passed my destination, everybody says, Granny, let's have a celebration. As I get off the express, some yokel pushed me into a local. The crowd seen a mistake, pulled the emergency brake and shouted, that's Jimmy, that well-dressed man. Now I know darn well I can do without Broadway, but can Broadway do without me? Yes, sir, can Broadway do without me?
Hollywood was hit by the Depression on one side, the changeover to sound on the other. But despite the upsurge of the talkies, the movie palaces still needed bank nights and automobile giveaways to lure the customers in. Variety told a story in a headline, sticks, nicks, hicks, picks. Yes, Depression America wanted movies, but only the best. And Hollywood met the caliber. Walt Disney gave us Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Marie Dressler and Wallace Beery created the roles of Min and Bill. Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert romanced in It Happened One Night. We howled at Charlie Chaplin again in City Lights and blushed as Mae West whispered, "Come up and see me sometime." David O. Selznick gave us Gone with the Wind, the biggest hit of modern times. And there were such great film musicals as Warner Brothers' Gold Diggers of Broadway.
We're in the money, we're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along.
42nd Street with Ruby Keeler.
Come and meet those dancing feet on the avenue I'm taking you to, 42nd Street.
The Wizard of Oz with Judy Garland dreaming wistfully.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby.
And there was that Dancing in the Clouds couple, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. The top composers wrote for them. Vincent Humans gave them the carioca from Flying Down to Rio. Irving Berlin set them dancing cheek to cheek in Top Hat.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly see. Happiness I see when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Jerome Kern offered them a perfect lover's serenade.
Lovely to look at, delightful to know, and heaven to kiss.
And Cole Porter created one of the most memorable moments as Astaire and Rogers danced and sang in the Gay Divorcee. Incidentally, here is the rarest of all recordings. A record by Cole Porter himself. He plays and he sings, too. One of his greatest songs, You're the Top.
You're the top. You're an arrow collar. You're the top. You're a Coolidge dollar. You're the nimble thread of the feet of Fred Astaire. You're an O'Neill drama. You're Whistler's mama. You're Camembert. You're repose. You're Inferno's Dante. You're the nose on the great Urandi. I'm just in the way, as the French would say, de trop. But if, baby, I'm the bottom, you're the top.
Astaire and Rogers sent America to dancing, but soon a different beat began to emerge. A different dance step, a different kind of music. It was called swing. The era of the great bands. You've just heard the original recording of In the Mood by Glenn Miller. But there were others who made the music go round and round. Tommy Dorsey.
Oh, I blow through here. The music goes round and around. Whoa, 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 and it comes up here. Now you push the first valve down. The music goes down and around. Whoa, 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 and it comes up here.
Cab Calloway.
Folks, here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie coocher. She was the roughest of his frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Ho-dee-ho, ho-dee-ho,
ho-dee-ho, ho-dee-ho.
Hi-dee-hi, hi-dee-hi,
hi-dee-hi.
And the king of swing himself, Benny Goodman, playing his own clarinet. 1939, the World's Fair opened in New York. Mike Todd presented Gypsy Rose Lee. Billy Rose staged the Aquacade. I brought Little Old New York back to the fair. And that same year, a Brazilian bombshell named Carmen Miranda made her Broadway debut in the streets of Paris. This is what she sounded like.
Hiya, hiya, have you ever danced in the tropics? And that hazy, lazy, like, kind of crazy, like, South American way. Hiya. Have you ever kissed in the moonlight and that grand and glorious, again, notorious, South American way? The Latin scheme of love is like a dream of love. A Latin stream of love is in their veins. They'll buy a jewel for you, I'll fight a duel for you, I'll drive a mule for you across the plains. There is melody in their music while the gauchos sing it. Come on and swing it, the South. Oh, American way.
But all the news from other lands wasn't as cheerful as Carmen Miranda. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. American. All the ships at sea. There's very grave news tonight. Nazi troops have invaded Poland. The rumble of those marching feet echoed round the world. Newscasters Ed Maurer and Edwin C. Hill, H.B. Kaltenborn and Elmer Davis, Raymond Graham Swing and Walter Winchell, Eric Severoyd and William L. Shira were heard with new attention. But as the march of the invaders grew louder and louder, here at home a chorus of patriotism began to swell. Irving Berlin set it to words and music. Kate Smith sang it. And in our hearts, we all joined in.
Time is coming up to 5 minutes to nine. I hope you're enjoying Showbiz. I certainly am. Next week, we'll be back with the final part in this cavalcade of America's entertainment industry this century. Well, I think there's time for just one more track tonight, so let's finish with a good old number from Carson Robertson and his Pleasant Valley Boys. And they're telling us something that we all knew anyway, that life gets tedious, don't it?
The sun comes up and the sun goes down. My hands on the clock keep going around. I just get up and it's time to lay down. Life gets tedious, don't it? My shoe's untied, but I don't care. I ain't figuring on going nowhere. I'd have to wash and comb my hair, and that's just wasted effort. Water in the well getting lower and lower. Can't take a bath for 6 months more, but I've heard it said, and it's true, I'm sure, that too much bathing will weaken you. I open the door, and the flies swarm in. I shut the door, and I'm sweating again. And in the process, I crack my shin, just one darn thing after another. Brown mule, he must be sick. I jabbed him in the rump with a pin on a stick. He humped his back, but he wouldn't kick. There's something cockeyed somewhere. A mouse chawing on the pantry door. He's been at it for a month or more. When he gets through, he'll sure be sore, 'cause there ain't a darn thing in there. Hound dog howling so forlorn, laziest dog that ever was born. He's howling 'cause he's sitting on a thorn and just too tired to move over. The tin roof leaks and the chimney leans, and there's a hole in the seat of my old blue jeans, and I've et the last of the pork and beans. Just can't depend on nothing. Cow's gone dry and the hens won't lay. Fish quit biting last Saturday. Trouble's piling up day by day, and now I'm getting dandruff. Grief and misery, pains and woes, and debts and taxes, so it goes. And I think I'm getting a cold in my nose. Life gets tasteless, don't it?
Well, I guess that's life for you. That was Carson Robertson and his old Pleasant Valley Boys, and life gets tedious, don't it? And that takes me out for another week. I hope that you've enjoyed sharing some of my personal nostalgia. My thanks to Frank Mackay for spinning in the records, and until the same time next week, this is Bob Matchler saying thanks for listening. And to all those artists whose records we featured, thanks for the memory.